My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Eddie Gonzalez going to join us 15 minutes. Jay asking, you guys going to talk about Al Michaels' comment from last night?
I didn't see it.
Which one are you talking about?
I didn't hear Al Michaels not once, except for, I guess, on the highlight. But
Al, I'm not sure what comment specifically Jay's talking about. Al, I didn't even take it as a comment. He was kind of flippant after the report on Tua's injury.
That doesn't surprise me.
He seemed totally lost to the moment. Mm. Then he said, yeah. And he ran into Damar Hamlin. How ironic is that? What are you talking about? And look, it's time. It's fine. We've been over this 1,000 times. There will be a time. Jesse's got to take me out back.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, there has to be
going to be a time that it's over.
The Wesley Snipes meme when he's crying, when he's got the gun out there.
Al, it's over.
C-L-P. Am I my brother's keeper?
Jesse, am I?
Yeah. Jesse gonna be like,
yeah, that's what you got to do.
Al, this should be Al's farewell tour.
No, he doesn't. No, this Al should just go away.
Well, no, give him the year.
He doesn't need a year.
No, give him the season. Don't do that to Al. No, Michael, even though I don't like him, but you don't just get rid of an Al Michaels in the middle of the season.
Treat him like a younger sibling. Unplug his mic. Al, here's your mic. All right, go ahead and talk into it, buddy.
Look, they got Noah Eagle in there broadcasting the game.
What's Noah doing here?
And Al's like, why does he keep talking when I'm talking? I'm trying to broadcast this game. Don't worry about it, Al. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. You're doing great, Grandpa. Keep it up.
Oh, man.
Christian McCaffrey is out and in an apparent change of heart. Kyle Shanahan just told reporters that the 49ers are now considering putting Christian McCaffrey on IR, which means it's 4 more weeks.
Because they can't.
There is no retroactive IR. So just because he's missed 2 weeks doesn't mean he'll miss 2 more. It means if the San Francisco 49ers put him on IR, he's out 4 more weeks. For a total of 6. I was not concerned that he wasn't playing tonight. But that little revelation is concerning because it's 6 weeks plus what? Six? Five?
IR is 4 weeks, I think.
No. Wait. Well, I'm talking about when he... No. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Oh, just the one. That's my, the games he's missed.
No, I apologize. It's my fault. I blew this whole thing. Pause. When he got hurt. I'm talking about when he got hurt. He got hurt like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Plus six more weeks?
Yeah.
This is a 12-week injury?
Yeah.
Kyle said it was no big deal.
Was he dealing with this?
Kyle said he was going to play if it was a playoff game.
Go ahead, Justin.
Am I mistaken, or was he dealing with this too in the playoffs?
Somebody said that. I heard that.
He injured it before the NFC Championship. I don't think it was before the Super Bowl. I think it was before the NFC Championship. So I'm going to guess magically he got through that, however you get through it as a football player, and it didn't get better.
I'll say this, and this is I know how it sounds. But this is why I'm so deathly afraid of calf injuries. Not because I've torn my Achilles. I've strained/torn
my
calf.
You haven't torn your Achilles, have you?
No. Oh. I said not because. I've just messed with the calf before. It took forever. Now, granted, I know I was just a regular person. I didn't have round-the-clock treatment from, you know, the top trainers in the world. It took forever. It took forever to get to a point where I could run full speed, feel good, whatever. And when I say I'm talking like 3 months. 3 months before I was like, oh, I can run and I'm not really afraid to run a little harder. I can just kind of, you know, keep going at a good pace. So, and I hear those things kind of vary, right? Like it depends on the severity of the. And once again, they strain, but a strain is really just a tear in the, in the calf muscle. And it just depends on the severity of it. So you say 12 weeks, that seems obviously way longer than we originally thought, but 12, 16 weeks maybe. You know what I mean? Like it could be that long. It could be a minute.
But it feels like it might be longer than 12 weeks. If he heard it last year,
That's true too.
If he heard it 2 weeks before, we'll say roughly, I guess it would be three, 3 weeks before the final game they played, the Super Bowl. And I mean, obviously he had to have been aware of something when the Super Bowl ended.
Right.
Look, you know what I'm alluding to. Obviously he took something that allowed him to play.
And then the other thing about it, like I said, I'm third time today I'm equating myself to these professional athletes, but I've never felt right after that. I've never felt completely comfortable. I may be pain-free to a certain extent, but I've never felt strong in the calf. I've never felt like I can elevate to another level. Like I always use the term all the time, if I'm from a car, I got five gears, I don't go past third gear. I've never felt like I can go to fourth and fifth gear ever. And it's not because of anything else. It's not the hips, my back. It is specifically the calf. I've never wanted to push that to that level again because it could go. And you, like you said, could be something he was dealing with last year. It might be a year-long thing before he feels comfortable or pain-free on a consistent basis.
The fact that Kyle even brought it up leads me to believe he's going to IR because you, I would think, don't want to do another game. You would rather it be 6 weeks and you control it than
get started now.
Than it being seven or eight. Like if they're talking about IR, it feels like he's going to IR. It's clear though, IR or not, he's not playing next week. And it sure as hell sounds like he's not playing the week after that. So your original assessment from a week ago,
And a couple things going to that, too, with this particular week. You got the field turf for the next two games. So you got the the Rams.
That's right. You got the field turf
in Minnesota, field turf in L.A., and then you go back to natural grass. Obviously, I think you're in natural grass for a long time after that. And you just got to, you know, you probably want to bring him back on the best conditions possible.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing with the IR thing as well, this isn't necessarily an injury thing. It's more of, I guess, a hydration thing, but you don't want to bring him back maybe if you think it's going to be too hot in Santa Clara and the muscles start locking up and tightening, calf cramps, all that other stuff. Maybe that plays. You want to make sure the conditions, field conditions, weather conditions, everything is as good as it possibly can be to go along with his physical, him physically feeling well. So, yeah, I'd put him on IR right now. Right now.
Yeah, I think that that's very likely. If it doesn't happen today or tomorrow, I'm confident it'll happen Monday.
Hmm.
But Christian McCaffrey ruled out, and Kyle Shanahan said he's now a candidate for IR, which, of course, has led us both to believe that Christian McCaffrey is, in fact, going to IR and will be out for the next 4 weeks to total the first 6 weeks.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Of the NFL season.
Another real quick, another situation.
Chelsea that did happen.
Chelsea Gray.
Mm-hmm.
She had an Achilles injury that she didn't get surgery on, right?
Yeah, I don't believe she had a torn Achilles.
Right. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And it drifted into this season. That happened last September.
It happened.
Because it was in the finals.
Yep.
And she didn't play the first month of this season.
Yeah, I think more than
with
that.
With no surgery. Like, she didn't get surgery. It was just didn't feel right or rehab or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Well, everybody just go get Aaron Rodgers' doctor and we'll be fine.
Saw how that worked out on Monday. The guy could barely move.
Eddie Gonzalez joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Chatty House brought to you by the Post Labor Day Mattress Price War going on over at Matthews Mattress. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com. Find one of the 10 locations nearest you. Enjoy 36 months special financing with zero interest with no money down on approved credit with equal monthly payments required. The sales continue even though Labor Day is over. Again, find that location nearest you at MatthewsMattress.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Plus, buy five, sleep by nine. You know I like that, man. Free removal of the old set, too.
Our man Eddie Gonzalez, Complex Sports, with us here. Love talking football with him. Love talking boxing with him. Love talking basketball with him. We're going to start with hip-hop. I was going to bring something up during the commercial break. No, come on. We here. Weigh in on this. We got people crying, talking about they devastated, all sorts of nonsense.
Who devastated?
Your boy. Yeah, well, I'm not going to say your boy because I like him too. Lil Wayne talked today.
Oh, I didn't see Wayne talk today.
Lil Wayne talked today. Eddie, weigh in on the halftime Super Bowl act being Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, look. Let me preface this. As I talk up Lil Wayne, because I'm going to, it's not talking down Kendrick. Kendrick is a fine choice. He's great. He's going to smoke it. Like, I know he is. Mm-hmm. The little minute he got last time, he killed it. Mm-hmm. I've seen him perform many times. I've seen him perform in Sacramento in a little ballroom, and he smoked it. Right. So I'm not against Kendrick having the show at all. I don't even think just because it's in New Orleans, it has to be Lil Wayne. My only complaint is when you act like Lil Wayne is not worthy of the platform to get on that stage for various reasons. All of the reasons have holes you can easily poke in. Oh, he's too old. He hasn't done a song. Usher was older and has not had hits in a long time. It was fine. Oh, he's not going to perform all that. We've seen some bad performances on that stage. That it's fine. Oh, he's not been relevant in X amount of years. Dr. Dre, y'all don't even remember he had an album in 2012. Like, y'all don't even, what are we saying right now? Oh, he'll have to bring a lot of guests. They always bring a lot of guests. Oh, his content is this. The Weeknd did this not too long ago. So I just don't buy that he's not a worthy act for that. Now, him not being chosen is fine. I don't think he needs to be ceremoniously chosen because he's in New Orleans. I just don't like that idea. But again, I think Kendrick is fine. I think Kendrick is going to kill it. I think they have some great guests with him. Like, he'll make the best of it. He'll be incredible.
Yeah, the thing I didn't like about all this, and Eddie, I was over this conversation. So, not saying like we shouldn't bring it. I'm just saying like I started off with it.
No, because I know you're about to go off. Before you go off.
I wouldn't go off.
No, I think you're not talking into the microphone. I think there's a chance that your microphone isn't connected. So while if it is, then that's just me. But I checked the little settings on the app. But go ahead, Casey.
But the whole thing that frustrated me about this entire dialogue 24 hours in was it became a situation as to why Wayne wasn't qualified or why Kendrick wasn't qualified. And it's like, come on, man. Like, both, what are we talking about? Both of these dudes are the creme de la creme of hip hop, of popular music at this point. Like, yes, they are absolutely qualified, either one of them. Like you said, Kendrick's going to kill it. And I would get frustrated when people act like Wayne had no business being a halftime show. And that's asinine to me. That's when I would walk away from the conversation. Like, what are we talking about?
But isn't this only a conversation because it's in New Orleans? Like, if the Super Bowl was in Arizona, would this conversation be happening?
Well, real quick, Eddie, it would. And it was.
It would?
Jay-Z and that group had made.
It just happened once.
No, it didn't.
It happened twice.
Usher's got connections. Mm. Shakira and J-Lo got connections to Miami. Mm. There had three of the four times he's been involved in this, there's been connections to the city. So this happened last year. This didn't come out of nowhere. Last year, like either the same night or a couple days later, the campaign for Lil Wayne started from the people. They're like, no, it's in New Orleans. Like, this will be dope. Like, da 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 da. And that's kind of, Wayne talked about it. He was asked about it on an interview. And he's like, man, I'm going to try and make sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Da 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 da.
And
like,
did he do that? Come out of,
I don't know if he did or not. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what he's been doing. But
have you guys seen Wayne? Have you seen him live ever?
Yeah, I seen him once.
How was it?
It was great.
I've seen him on, yeah. I don't know what it is.
I guess it depends on the show and where he's at, his mental state.
I believe that people have had bad experiences. Yeah. I've seen Wayne upwards of 10, 12 times. Incredible every time.
Mm.
And I don't say that just like as like a fan who's standing out, like, but he was mad active. He performed really well. He doesn't use a background vocal. He doesn't have a hype man anymore. Like, he just goes up and rocks it. So it was like that one. I didn't get it. I just seen him in Vegas 2 weekends ago.
Mm.
He did Zook, or yeah, Zook, the one at the Resorts World. Mm. Killed it. Great set. 45-minute set. Obviously, he was at 3 in the morning because it's Vegas, but he killed it. And he didn't even do the hits. He did, like, the B. He did, like, the B-sides, you know? So he did Hustler music. Like, he did Mr. Carter. So I'm like, come on. He can do a set.
Yeah. And like we said, I guess it depends on the day, because I've heard people see him and say he barely did any, like, he was trash.
And maybe that's what matters. Like, it can't be that day.
But that also goes into, like I said, that interview he did about, it's not a year ago, it was at the end of the football season, where he's like, I'm gonna make sure I'm on point. And I don't know what he's done in that time since, if he's made sure he's on point or not. But he was aware, maybe, of the perception. And he's like, I'm gonna make sure I'm on it. So I get this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure Wayne has his habits. I'm sure he does. I'm not denying that in any way. He's been pretty adamant and vocal. But we're talking about a professional performer, and he's been doing this since he was 10 years old. He's been doing it on a professional level since he was 14. We're talking 30 years of this. Mm. We're talking arenas. We're talking massive stages. And they go, oh, he did Essence Fest, and it was whatever. And, like, again, I'm sure there's been bad experiences, but he would not – I don't believe he would let this slip through his fingers, so – again, not to say that Kendrick will. Kendrick's going to kill it.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why the whole conversation is funny. Like, Jay didn't pick Tommy Richmond. No shot at Tommy Richmond entirely. But, like, it's Kendrick effing Lamar.
The other one I want people to stop saying is, oh, you didn't do this in 2013. Like Kenny said, the precedence wasn't set in 2013. And 2013 was Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't do this in 2013. It was Beyonce.
Beyonce.
She literally shut down the arena. Like, nice. Don't stop bringing that up. It was Beyonce.
The one more thing. So before we leave this, the other argument that I'm kind of tired of too is people are like, it's Kendrick Lamar and all this fake outrage about Lil Wayne. Oh, don't act like you're not going to watch. Of course, 90 million people watched it in Sacramento. Like, yes, everybody's watching the Super Bowl. Nobody's turning the Super Bowl on because Kendrick Lamar is there. I wasn't going to go to a Super Bowl party, but now that Kendrick Lamar is, I'm definitely watching. And same, like you said, same thing with Lil Wayne. Oh, I wasn't going to watch, but Lil Wayne's performance, so I'll watch. It's the most watched event every year around the world. People are watching the Super Bowl regardless.
I've had women say in my life that that was the Beyonce concert, and then they're just having me a football game. That's the exception. Again, stop bringing that up. It's Beyonce. Like, shut up.
Stop bringing up Drake, because that man was never offered the Super Bowl. So stop.
Now I sound like you're hating a little bit now. Hey, we got multiple sources that are doing it.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, open Twitter. Tell me about multiple sources.
Elliot Wilson hates Drake.
There are people in Roc Nation who are like, yeah, that never happened. We did not. Okay. You really believe that they offered Drake the Super Bowl 2 years in a row after he said no?
Stop it. How does that make me a stand? Bro, I'm telling you, Elliot
you
Wilson.
You never have ever called out Drake for lying. Drake started lying 4 months ago. You've never said, oh, Drake was wrong about this. Drake was wrong about that. You have been all on Kendrick for four straight months.
So
everything that comes out about Drake is the gospel.
So you asked me in a group chat, I won't even ask you. And you said, I'll go back to shutting the hell up, because you said you believe everything he said is true. And I told you what I said is not true. I don't believe it's true. And you're like, oh, I read that wrong. I'll go back to shutting the hell up.
I don't even remember what that was.
Yeah, it was during Family Matters. And you were like, you believe all this stuff? I said, this is what I do believe. This is what I don't believe.
Yeah, so, so yo, since that? When has that been the way you win the battle anyway? Like,
not don't ask me.
He did Tybo, and everybody was like, ooh.
I don't know. All I'm saying is Elliot Wilson hates Drake. So if there was anybody that would be like, nah, Drake is
right. Will I believe Elliot Nation or Rock Nation or Elliot Wilson or Rock Nation? I'm going to choose Rock Nation.
Well, you believe everything Jay-Z says. You believe, you're Rock like Nation. My cousin. You think Jay-Z is without flaw. You think Jay-Z's without flaw. That now that you want to talk about Stan.
So
you want to talk about Stan? You think Jay-Z does?
So you're telling me, you think they went to Drake for the 2020 Super Bowl, and he said no, and they're like, oh, let's just ask him again in 2021. No, you turn him down once, he's never asking you again.
Maybe not.
There's no chance that happened. Maybe none. Not. I'd bet your entire life savings on it. We all know how much money.
That's
you have.
No. That's nothing compared
we'll,
to your.
We'll
life.
Bet your that's entire life savings on it. What did you? I hate Drake. I swear to God, I know you hate Drake. And I can't stand you sometimes.
It's clear as day. I'm DeMar DeRozan in this whole thing. I like them both. That's
you're
what you
liar.
Listen to me.
You're a flat out liar.
I do not like Kendrick Lamar. I love Kendrick Lamar.
What do you think about
I
what
like
you?
Both. A lot.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you. What do you think about what we saw last night on the football field?
You know, when they announced that the guys could wear the padded helmets, that would help. This is what we're talking about, right? Yeah. We're talking about too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was one of the players I immediately thought of. Mm. And I think we are reaching that point where they're not, I don't know that they're going to take it out of his hands, but he, so this is his third diagnosed concussion in 2 years. And there was another one that wasn't diagnosed and he very much looked out of it and all that stuff. Like, we are in the era of football where we have to take care of a guy like that. That's a tough hit. That's the thing about his situation. Like, all of his hits have been tough, but tough hits happen. Is he just more susceptible? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But by the way guys are talking, by the way Mike McDaniel is talking, I don't think they're going to leave this in his hands too much longer. And nor do I think they should. You know, we're all a little older, and we remember – you know, all his great hits. We remember putting on Madden and Game Day, and it just starts with 3 minutes of guys getting blasted, right? That's just not the league we live in right now, and I'm not saying he needs to or should retire, but I wouldn't be shocked if they take it out of his hands, at least for this season. Mm. And then he has to figure out from there what he's going to do with his career.
That's a good call. I mean, maybe you don't retire him. Maybe you can't retire him, but – and shut him down for the season, and think about what your next steps are going to be. You know, while you rest, we talked about it earlier, I don't think there's any resting or healing for the brain. It's not like a sprained ankle or anything like that. But at the very least, you don't take another hit this year and you rest up, quote unquote, there. But then you also have time to clearly think about what your next move is. These guys are you know all these guys, you know all these professional athletes, and you know that they're wired different in every sport. Like they live to play the game that they play. So it's easy for us on the outside to say just stop playing, you know, when these guys have been doing this since they could remember. But I do kind of hope Tua hangs it up, man. I think it's just not going to get any better, and the risk is only going to get higher, and the danger is only going to get higher for him, I believe.
Yeah, look, I'm not a doctor, but that's how it seems from afar. They've said little to nothing in today, and you know, he got off, he walked off the field and handled himself in that sense. But again, from afar, it just seems like a thing that's just being compounded. We watched this happen with other guys. I remember like Austin Collie and players like that who just seem more susceptible to these situations and got hit a lot. You're the quarterback in the NFL, and like the number one job in the game in this league is we have to tackle that guy before he can do anything, right? And we have to tackle him hard so he can't do anything else. Right. So it's just tough. And again, you can't tell a guy not to live his dream anymore. And if he figures it out, if he takes some time, we you know, you guys are wrestling guys. We've watched this happen with wrestling guys a little bit. Daniel Bryan's still out there wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, Sting got back out there. That was a little different. It's a neck and it's a whole different thing, but like, You may find the right doctor says it's cool, but this is different. It's your brain, and we know so little, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's tough to see.
Do you think that this is an issue that the NFL is still having trouble aggressing and kind of, no pun intended, wrapping its brain around, like fully understanding what this is, how to deal with it. You talk about, we still amazingly don't know enough about all this. You think the NFL struggles exactly with what to do with this type of stuff?
Yeah, and like I kind of fight back at the notion that they've been aggressive with it either. Like, they've kind of done just enough.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, to look respectable in that sense. You know, the problem is like, what are the answers? This is a game of collisions. This is a game of people running into each other. The quarterback is kind of the safest position on the field, but there's times in any given game he may have to run 7 yards down the field and run into a safety, you know? So unless we're going to have them stop tackling each other, or there's radical suggestions like, yo, if guys didn't have helmets, maybe they wouldn't lead with their head, and they would be, rugby, they don't have as many concussions and all this stuff. But like, I don't know that there is a true answer. They've, you know, revolutionized the helmets and they've done all they can in that sense. But at the end of the day, this is guys running into each other as fast as they can, throwing each other on the ground, bumping heads. And it's, you know, when you get close to that field and really get a feel just how fast things happen on that field, there's only so much you can do in preventative nature. It's like, you know, I kind of look at it like boxing. Like, at the end of the day, you're hitting each other in the head. Like, that's the point of what you're doing, and it's only so much you can do.
The essence and the core of the game is innately dangerous. Like, that's just what it is. And I don't want to come off like I'm necessarily defending the NFL, because that's I ain't never going to defend the NFL. But you see some of the things they're trying, you know, what people complain all the time about, late hits on the quarter. That's not a hit. Oh, come on. What is he supposed to do? Like, they're trying the kickoff thing. They're trying, yep. But they're trying to make a game, like I said, that is innately dangerous, safe, and you can't do it. Like, it's impossible. Like, the nature of the game is that of hitting the guy, hitting him to the point where he don't want to get up or have the same type of aggression, and kind of, we joke about it a little bit, but kind of take their soul throughout the game. Whose will can be broken throughout that game is really what it is. And I like you guys said, I don't know what they can do to kind of regulate that or get that out the game. I don't know if you can.
It's calculated car crashes all game. Mm. The force that they run into each other, car accidents. So they're doing out there, and you have bigger helmets, you have smaller pads, and so you have all this stuff going on where it's like it's supposed to help. But at the end of the day, if I run the top of my head right into a guy's chest at full speed, and anything could happen. You know what I mean? We look at something like Shazier a while back. Like, that was a typical hit that happens in almost every game. You just bent the wrong way for a millisecond, and you got to learn how to walk again. Like, it's a very dangerous sport. I do think, and again, I don't want to sound like an old crude fan, but it's like you do reach the point of you're removing so much of the sport, and then like, what are we watching football anymore? I look at the kickoffs, and I think they've been entertaining in their own right, but you start doing stuff where we're not allowing anybody to, like, now it's a whole different game, and you've removed that. Like, it's meant to be a physical game. It's a contact sport. So it's like you said, I'm not trying to bail out the NBA. I just don't know how many options they have here to fix stuff like this.
How does this stuff, you know, from the NFL, the concussions, how does this, like, you guys know better, like boxing? Like, what's the concussion situation like in boxing?
Go ahead, Eddie.
Well, I mean, their protection is the gloves and a mouth guard, you know? And it's just, it's a little different than MMA. You can get knocked down in MMA and you got to just fight. And we've watched fights, Kenny, we watch fights all the time. It's like, damn, he might have been concussed in round two. We've had guys say, yo, I got hit in third round. I never recovered, and they just never looked the same. So, like, they're potentially concussed and continuing to get hit after that. Right. I think kind of like the science of it is, I can't necessarily hit you stationary as hard as I could if I was running 20 feet straight at you and then throwing you at the ground. But again, that doesn't mean it's safer. Like, the point of boxing is to knock the other guy unconscious. I think the saving grace also is, like, when usually when it happens, it ends. You know, there's no more. But it's, I mean, the answers aren't great. They have just as much a story history. I mean, you look at even somebody like Ali. they wonder if the Parkinson's is connected, and they on and on. We've seen guys, we call it punch drunk, and we see guys slur their speech and they're still fighting.
Right.
Roy Jones was doing that for some time, and it was like, it was like, yo, you have to stop. Roy Jones fought in his 50s, like, you know, so it's like, it's just as tough there. It's just as tough as combat sports. And again, as we age as sports fans, we're a little more sensitive to that stuff than we used to be, because just like the hits in the Madden game, I watch knockout compilations all the time. It is like, I'm okay with it. And then you think about it, I had a cousin who boxed. Watched him get hit a couple of times. I was like, whoa, whoa, like, this is a lot. And I think we're all kind of getting there as we get older as fans. Like, all right, this is kind of
It's different when you know the person.
Well, I mean, look, when you know him, and then when you like Eddie, and you know, you about fourth row at these Showtime fights. You know what I mean? You kind of fourth row.
Wasn't
so
he cornerman in
different.
The last fight? He might have been. Water bucket.
He might have been. Yeah, he might have won.
All right, speaking of, are you at the Sphere this weekend?
No, it sounds great, but I'm home. I have to cover football, man. I have to do my day job sometimes too.
Yeah, man. And look, to his point though, I mean, the other thing that we do as boxing fans, and I think football fans do it too, and I'm not trying to speak from a place that's holier than now, I am part of this, is you just kind of make an agreement with yourself emotionally that you know what you're watching, you know the consequences, and then you just accept it. And you try to enjoy the sport. And that, I'm not even saying that, like, that's the best thing. But that's what we all do, right? Like, nobody's not going to watch football tonight, tomorrow, on Sunday. I'm going to watch Canelo on Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's kind of what we all do as sports fans. And like I said, I'm not pointing a finger or wagging a finger at anybody or anything else like that. It's kind of what we do. And to a certain degree, that's what these players do. They say, this is the emotional and mental agreement that I made to chase my dreams or to continue to play this game. And
yeah, you kind of, those guys kind of laugh at it. You look at Antonio Brown and people like that, they're kind of like, you know, but that is like common, but it's a laugh, but it's like one of those uneasy kind of like, yeah, I'm laughing. But I put it like this. My son is 18 and he had a whole career of sports. He did not play one down of football. It was never even a conversation. I never even thought of it. He did not get in any ring, nothing. And it was never even a conversation. Never even thought about it. And so it's like, it's hypocritical in a sense, but that's kind of what, that's the bargain we make as fans, right? Like, I'll watch the pros do this.
Right.
But my kid, oh no.
Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make the conversation as heavy as it turned out. I feel like it's just kind of the focal point of sports talk today. Eddie, we appreciate you always, man.
Real quick, I got to ask him for at least, I mean, easy work on Saturday night, right? Easy work.
Oh, yeah. I just posted a thing on Complex Sports on Instagram, on Twitter, on everywhere else. Make sure you follow. Canelo's, I think he's well aware of what this fight is for him. And he told us he wanted an action fight. He thinks Berlanga will come forward and fight. And I think he will for a little bit. And then he's going to get hit and be like, ah, oh, not so much anymore.
And then he's not. And then I said, I got a 9th round TKO for Canelo. And then after that, he's going to talk to Jim Gray. And he's going to be like, I'm not afraid of anybody. I'll fight anybody. And then 2 months later, he's like, ah, give me $300 million to fight. We all know what's going to happen. He ain't fighting.
They were adamant. David Benavidez is too big. Terrence Crawford is too small. I think they're kind of right. But again, you should fight that fight. If you're you should fight that fight. But somebody might give him $200 million. Who knows?
Call the bluff. His Excellency, give him $200 million.
Yeah, it might be him. But yeah, nah, easy money. I think the undercard is gonna we're gonna have some fun and see some good stuff.
Yeah, undercard crazy. Yeah.
So
Eddie, we appreciate you as always, my brother. Thank you.
Nah, fellas, good seeing you. You already know. I'll be back next week, man.
Oh yeah, we're ready for you. It's weekly. We ain't even tell everybody yet. This weekly, man. Eddie with us every Friday now.
Yeah, man.
Come on now.
Yes, sir. We're excited about that, man. Thank you, brother.
My dog.
Yes, sir.
Sir, man, Eddie Gonzalez, every Friday, he'll be with us. We'll come back. We got game number 11. Top 20 games. The
streets tell me there's questions about this game.
It's different.
Okay.
The streets are saying it's different. but this is your list, and you can explain why you chose this one at number 11.
Okay.
Be a fun conversation here, and that'll lead right into James Hamm at the top of the hour. See them, Casey. We're getting you home on this Friday on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation that they got for everyone who listens to ESPN 1320. You can even take advantage of their free macro calculator, which is right there on the website. If you don't know what that is, it helps you determine how much protein you need, how much carbs you need, how much fat you need. But I would take the nutritionist consultation. Like, that'll go such a long way in helping you achieve not just your fitness goals, but more importantly, your health goals. Mm-hmm. The link is right there on the website for MapTrition, and it'll take you to get the strength enhancers and the fat burners and the cravings crushers and all of that stuff. If it's appropriate for you, I think the number one thing that Greg made clear to us when he was with us earlier this week is the number one thing everybody needs is a good protein powder. And I've sampled all of theirs. They've got some great ones, especially that cinnamon roll they got over there. That's some great stuff. So go check that out. James Hamm is going to join us. Again, it's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. James Hamm is going to join us here at the top of the hour to close out the week. So it seems like a good time.
We got news real quick.
Okay.
CMC is hitting IR. Christian McCaffrey officially.
Right there. Is that from Nick?
I saw Adam Schefter.
Oh, okay. Are you sure?
Yeah, I looked at the tweet.
Okay. Because I got a tweet from Adam Schefter that says the 49ers are mulling.
Oh, mulling. All right. Yeah, I misread that then.
Is that considered a chatty house? Is that considered a chatty?
No.
Oh, I misread.
He just misread
it. No, I misread.
No, he
did
just,
he get chatty he house?
Misread it. No.
Misread.
He just misread it.
The tweet's there, pal.
It was really Adam Schefter because I'm looking at the same tweet. You would have read Adam Schefty. That's the difference. You would have read Adam Schefty, and Christian McCaffrey would be dead, and Kenny Caraway would have reported it. And like,
wow, no. You guys see this? CMC's gone.
God, he's gone. He passed away. The Achilles ate him. It's over.
No. So a little more kind of insight on maybe why they arrived at this. David Lombardi was with a new group. Like, it's not even the Athletic anymore. There's like a him and Kawakami or something called the San Francisco Stain or something. I don't know what it's
Stain?
Called. Stain? No, it's I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, that's a terrible name.
San Francisco Stampede or something. I don't know what it is.
That's worse.
But let me see if it's while I have him here. No, he still has the Athletic link. I don't know what he's. But yeah, him and Kawakami or something. Anyway. He said, Kyle Shanahan said the 49ers, this was earlier, said they're now considering IR for Christian McCaffrey as yesterday was his, quote, worst day with the Achilles calf injury. So.
Interesting. Yikes. So. Ooh. Yeah, that is a yikes. I don't know what to. I don't know what to add to that. Obviously, he's pushing it, I guess. Like, I don't know. I thought that they were kind of resigned to him not playing. That, of course, that was our assumption.
Right.
My assumption that he wasn't going to play this week. Clearly, he's working. Maybe.
I do believe he was, like, working towards playing this week. Like, he was trying. And I think what you originally said might be a little bit more spot on. He tried to push it to the point where, like, I can go.
Yeah.
And it apparently didn't respond not. Right. Didn't respond right.
Wow, this seems to get more concerning by the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see what the 49ers do. Jesse may have jumped the gun on it, but ultimately think at some point if he wants to say it again, like, I think that's
if anything, I was a day ahead or two.
Yeah, well, that's what I think it is. You might just be 2 days ahead.
Well, Will in the chat, in the Matthews Master chat, brings up a good point, and I agree with him. He said that means he's going to the IR. Jesse, just the first to report it.
Please credit.
Yeah.
1320,
he's the
first
to report it.
I think he's right.
He beat Choms, too.
No, that's what we do around here. That's what we do.
Oh, boy. All right, man.
Why don't you tweet about Biden dropping out of the presidential race and... Never mind. Sorry. That's hate. That was hate. That was hate. That's my bad. Game number 11. In the top 20 games of the Kings season, what do we got here?
So, okay, how do I go about this? I'm gonna say the game. I'm gonna give you the particulars, and then I'm gonna kind of explain something.
Okay.
Game number 11, November 10th, a Friday,
mm-hmm.
in Sacramento, California, which means it was a play in, or excuse me, an in-season tournament game, now the NBA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first one ever for the Sacramento Kings. This was the first
one. Okay. So, I remember seeing that floor for the first time.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. Like, we saw the floor, like, this is crazy. And then the energy in the building.
Yeah, it was there.
It was different.
Yeah, it was there.
It was different. They beat the Thunder 105-98 to win the first ever in-season tournament game that they played. De'Aaron Fox did not play in this game. Mm-hmm. That was another aspect of it where Fox was out and everybody was like, oh, no. There was a lot of doom and gloom and, like, angst. Because Fox was going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed up. Kevin Huerter, 28 points, was phenomenal.
Sorry?
28 points from Kevon Huerter. Keegan Murray with 24 points on the night. And he banged out a little dunk on Chet Holmgren.
Okay.
That was memorable. See, now I'm talking basketball terms. We talk, he bang out. Bang out.
That's insane. What are you getting all worked up for?
I saw that little stupid look on your face. DeMontis Sabonis.
So before you go any further, you know what caught my attention, because the streets that Kenny was referring to, that they were a bit confused by this game. You mentioned Huerter and you mentioned Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Pretty much.
That was essentially it. And so I was trying to wrap my brain around the game, like, this is such a weird game. And it wasn't until I pulled it up on YouTube, I was like, oh, it was the playing, the in-season game.
Yeah.
And I didn't even compute that it was the first one.
It was the first one. And then, like you said, we maybe a little biased because we were there. Mm-hmm. It was a different energy.
Oh, definitely building. Was. Absolutely.
That place was electric. A Friday night, in-season term, the court was different. Like, it was. The
crowd was buzzing. They got off to a really good start.
Yeah.
Kings got off to a really, really good start.
So it was high energy.
Got everyone involved, like, right out the gate.
17 points, 13 rebounds, 13 assists for DeMontis Sabonis, a triple-double. He dunked on Chet Holmgren as well in that game.
Just watch that.
Yeah. Here's what I'll let you guys in on a little bit. Even I might say this a little too high. Looking back at the list, and I didn't want to say anything, but when we did it yesterday,
did Reese put together this list? Did you source out your homework? Because this is like the third or no, this is at least the second.
No, it's only the first time.
Keegan's 47,
and because people thought it should be higher, and I was like, nah, I think it's right.
Okay,
and when
I thought
it was
fine, but I thought you second guessed it.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I second guessed it when I went back and looked at the list and saw this game. I said, Keegan's game probably should have been above this. And when I said, I'm thinking specifically this game, I said, they could have been flip-flopped. They could have been flip-flopped.
Both games were in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I might be putting my own personal experience at
the Keegan game. I was watching that unfold.
Yeah.
I was at this one, and it was different.
Yeah.
Like, it was like and I don't know if it was a mind trick with the court or the, I don't know what it was.
It looked like the arena was fuller. It felt like people were on top. It was the same arena.
It felt like the second you saw the floor, it was like, oh, this is different. And then, as we said, De'Aaron was gone, so there was a little anxiety, a little angst, mm-hmm. and they got off to a great start, mm-hmm. and Golden One came alive.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say came alive. Golden One was alive. Yeah, they stayed alive.
Yeah. So that, and that's the other thing I think about. Trying to be fair in the situation, maybe my own personal biases of being there played a factor. And like you said, I wasn't at the Keegan game. If I was at the Keegan 47-point game, maybe I'd feel a little different about that.
Probably.
But the second guess I had the other day, I was looking directly at this game. I was like, maybe it could have switched with this game. But this was a great game, though. Like I said, it was a Friday night, so there was a lot of energy in and around the Golden One Center. I feel like we were at the skating ring that day. I think we were.
Okay.
It seems a little early because it's November.
It does seem early, but we were there a lot.
Yeah.
So we might have been.
We were there that day.
We might have been.
We were at the skating rink and we went over. Because I think that's also another reason why we came in late and just saw the court and
you're
the crowd
right.
And
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
That's right. Because I kept thinking, why were we so late getting to the bowl?
Yeah,
and that would make sense. We were across the street at the skating rink.
And the vibes were all the way up, man. So this, it was still a very fun game. Very fun game. Good game to watch. Like I said, Keegan Murray with the dunk. He also had 11 rebounds that game. 24 points, 11 rebounds for Keegan. Dunked on Chet Holmgren. Got the Kings to 4-4.
Kevin Herter played really well.
He played really well. Really well. The Kings were 3-4, under 500 going into this game.
Interesting note about this one. We talked about the fast start that they got off to. What was the final score again?
105-98.
Seven? Right? It's math?
Yes. 7-point win.
They were up by 17. That Joker disappeared. The Thunder never had the lead in this one.
Kings.
Never had the lead in this game.
I can say this because.
Lots of emotions in this one, but they never had the lead.
I can say this because there's not another Thunder game on the schedule, on the list. Kings played the Thunder really well all year long.
Mm-hmm.
All year long. It was, that's the best team in the Western Conference, and the Kings beat them twice. Rather convincing. It's not like they blew them out, but rather convincing two times at home. They lost that game on Super Bowl Sunday, and then they were up 20 late. That's one of their 20-point losses. Their 20-point blown leads was the game against OKC late in the season with no Malik Monk.
Oh, little Keon Ellis put back. Little Keon Ellis put back with about 5 minutes left. The Kings put the Kings back up by 11. I'm trying to remember.
Do you want to hear something? You want to hear something that I'll say it because, like I said, like I always say, when I'm right, you gonna hear from me. Just watching this game, I'll never forget watching this game, and SGA is going off, right? He's playing really well, and Keon's guarding him, and I'm sitting there like, man, it's still Keon, man. He can't guard guards on the NBA level. He can't do he man. SGA just treating him like a chair. He can't guard these guys. Dead wrong.
It's the basketball mind right there.
I come fast forward 3 months later. I'm talking about, you know, that's Keon. He can be an all defense player in this league. He's got it like that.
So the Kings.
Keon is the truth, man. I like Keon.
This is funny. The Kings weren't really there wasn't really a threat to lose this game, but it is funny that Harrison had to take a three as the clock is expiring. They're up 105-98. They have the ball. They're holding it.
Yeah.
And Sabonis,
I think, was the one that was like, hey get
go.
The ball, score.
We got to go. So they start moving. They start moving an offense, and it winds up with Harrison with the ball in his hands and getting the final shot off. He missed. But watching the final few minutes play out, it was a 7-point lead, but the Kings really weren't in danger of losing
that one. That's a good call by you because I forgot that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching that moment like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
That was my introduction to.
Yeah,
I was sitting there like Billy Donovan. Somebody had to explain it to me.
Well, it's a little bit different when you're doing it versus when Billy's doing it. My man Billy on the sideline, completely confused about the rules of the play-in tournament.
So,
or
yeah,
the in-season tournament, excuse me.
Game 11, and now we're on track.
On
we got
to the top
10,
10
through 6 next week, and then 5-1 the following week. And like you said, I didn't even realize it'd probably be about time for a media day at that point. Close to it.
I kind of want to. James is going to join us here in a minute. I kind of want to hear this, if you don't mind. It's going to take me 2 seconds. I think I should be able to find it pretty quickly.
You know what happens then? Let me break down this Canelo Berlingo.
Oh, signed out. Shoot. Oh, that's right. This is James's. Well, I don't even know my Twitter password. I don't even know how to sign into this. I wanted to hear what Mike McDaniel said. Mike McDaniel spoke today.
If you got it up, tag me real quick.
Okay, yeah, I'll tag the RG3.
Who's this kid?
At I am
that's
K.
Not, no, that one's gone.
That one's
gone. It's not. It ain't there no more.
All right, I just tagged you in a tweet from Robert Griffin III.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I'm just making
that
sure.
That guy's not tweeting. That guy, I don't think that guy's tweeting. I'm just making
sure. My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.